Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your goodness. We do stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of your mercies that are new every morning. We stand in awe of your compassion that you have on us. Father, we stand in awe of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're the creator of all. Father, we see a fresh blanket of snow this morning, and my first thought is, it's the power of our God. We just thank you. Thank you for being amongst us here today. We thank you for your spirit that leads us into all truth. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. This morning, Spirit of God, I'm asking for a fresh anointing. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that the words that are about to be spoken would be of you. I pray, Spirit of God, you would anoint these lips and use them for your honor and for your glory. I pray, oh God, you would help me preach the message that you've laid onto my heart. And I'm asking, Spirit of God, that you would open up hearts and minds that they may receive what you are saying to the church today. Father, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we give you this time today to speak to us as you would. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I believe the children are dismissed for Children's Church or River Kids. During a worship service like this, a lot of things can go through your mind and the Spirit of God speaks to all of us if we are willing to hear what the Spirit is saying. And our prayer this morning, me and Elmina, our prayer was that everybody that walks through the doors would have unveiled minds and unveiled eyes, and they would see and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, not just because it's for me, but I always give God permission to change the message. Always do that. And I feel like this morning it was just kind of a setup, kind of like volleyball where somebody sets you up and you have to spike it, right? So that's where I'm at this morning. And I feel like God has been trying to get some of our attention today. Every one of us in here, most of us, if you're my kid, you probably didn't have as much choice as you wanted to, but every one of us in here as adults, we have the opportunity to go on any given Sunday, we have the opportunity to go wherever we want to. We can stay in bed, we can go to church, we can make breakfast, a lot of us have that free will, and I praise God this morning that we still live in a nation where we're allowed to do that. And we live in a country that we're protected to do that. And I don't want you just to be here this morning out of Christian duty. I don't want to get up on a Sunday morning and go to church just because it's Christian duty. But I have found myself doing that. I've said this before. I've said this before where I've gotten up on a Sunday morning and my thought goes, man, I just wish nobody expected anything out of Jerry today. I just wish there was nothing required of me. I wish nobody had any expectation on me today. I'd probably stay home. But I'm telling you that there's something about a body of Christ where if we know one another, if we hear one another, if we see one another, if we know one another's dreams and visions and one another's passions, you know, we can come together as a body of Christ and encourage one another, be there for one another, and help one another in this daily walk of life. I heard something this, and I'm not even sure I listened to quite a few messages this week, but I heard one of them say this, said, it's not so hard to become born again. It's not so hard to become born again. The hard part is actually growing as a Christian. That's the hard part, is growing as a Christian. And I believe that as humans and as Christians, some of us would maybe say, man, we're just at, I'm stale right now. You know, I'm just at a place where nothing's really happening. I'm not really growing. I'm not really decreasing. But I believe that us as humans, whether it be, on a job, whether it be with our health, whether it be physically, we're either gaining a little bit or else we're declining. And I look at my life, I look at us as Christians, and I thought when I was asked to preach on the first Sunday of the year, I thought, oh yeah, here we go. I love challenges. I like resolutions for myself. I like to challenge myself and put things out ahead of me so that I have something to attain. And last year I made resolutions, and I had a couple of them, and I did two of them. And if I could have lost 25 pounds on December 31st, I would have gotten all three of them. I think I actually lost 25 pounds, but somewhere I gained them all back. Just, it's kind of give and take there. And I believe that, and so the what I thought was, I preached a message one year, I think it was 2 years ago, where I preached a message about the sword of the Spirit. Where I forget the man's name, but as one of David's mighty men, where he had the spirit in his hand, he went and he defended the field of lentils, and it said that he killed the Philistines until the sword stuck to his hand. And so I thought, and that was a great mess. I thought it was a great message about reading the Word of God. You got to read it until it sticks to your craw. You can't let it go. And I thought this year again, and we had these Bible reading plans. We still have them here at church if you want them. There's one in my Bible, and that's one of the goals, is reading the Bible every year. And I thought, here, that's another a good message to get people to read the Word again. Put them on a Bible reading plan, something to attain. And I believe some of you have done that. I'm not here to speak about that today. I felt gently, God is gentle, and I felt the Spirit of God just kind of reining me in, saying, whoa, easy, Tedder. Just calm down. And here's what he spoke to me. He said, people have to fall in love with the author before they can fall in love with his word. And I believe that as Christians, we sometimes go to church out of Christian duty. We sometimes live the Christian life because there's other people that are watching us, and we feel like we're in this bubble, and if we slip and say a cuss word, then oh my goodness, the hammer of God is going to come down on us, and we feel like we live in this bubble, and we feel like we're being watched closely, and then when we mess up, we beat ourselves up to no end. And I'm telling you, we should never minimize the mercy of God. I want to talk a little bit today about the mercy of God, but I want to talk about vision for 2024. What is the vision? Not just for River of Life. I prayed that God would give me a word for whoever sits in here today. And I believe that Elmina started speaking some to it. I believe it started last Sunday when Joy and Gloria were leading worship. They were talking about getting the weight off of us so we could run better, right? And God kind of reined me in. He said that there are, I'm really critical of the younger generation. I'm just going to tell you right now, I find myself looking at younger generation and going, man, who is teaching these people? And I look at myself and I'm going, what am I teaching my children? You know, we have this thing where they just don't get it. They're never going to get it. Yada, all this, yada, yada. But I'm telling you that before somebody can fall in love with Jesus Christ, they have to have an experience with the King of Glory. I'm telling you, you can't fall in love with his word until you've had an experience with Jesus Christ. It'd be like me saying, hey, going to work and telling somebody, say, I know this man. His name is George. You need to love him. I can't make anybody love my Savior. I can't make him. I can't make you love somebody that I love. I can't go to work and say, hey, there's this man by the name of George. He's a great guy. He cares so much about other people. He's got a servant heart. And you got to love him. They're going, I don't even know the guy. And sometimes when I go out and when I think that I need to share the gospel, people need to fall in love with Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to show them first who Jesus Christ is. They can't follow after something that they don't know. And if you do, you're blind. He said the blind are going to leave the blind and everybody's going to fall into the ditch. So I have a message this morning. The message was an experience with Jesus, but it could be called Fresh Hope as well. I thought of that when we were, I don't care what you call it, whoever's doing the YouTube. I don't care what you call the message, but I had an experience with Jesus. And so let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, I want to get into this message. And I want to say something about what the message today, what I feel like is it might just change the way that we pray in 2024. It might be the way, it might change the way that we pray and that we look at our circumstances for the year 2024. Did you know that circumstance dictates the way that you pray? Your circumstance dictates the way that you pray. I'm telling you, if I'm sick, if something is wrong or something is going on in my family, I focus on that when I pray. And there's a well-known writer that said this. He said, the person that has a toothache cares more about that toothache than he does about a million people dying of a famine in India. It's true. I'm not saying that you're wrong to feel that way, but I care more about what is going on in my life than about most other things in this world. And that is human nature. But I want to talk a little bit about how we pray and the mercy of God and experience with Jesus and following hard after God in the year 2024. I love resolutions. Please understand me. Resolutions, people say resolutions are just made to be broken. 8% of resolutions are attained. This is I'm not making this up. This is, you can go Google it. If I would ask every one of you, what was your resolution for 2024 and did you hit it? Statistically, 8% of you would say yes. 92% in the first 3.5 months, the resolution is broken. You did not attain it. And the reason that I want to talk about, I don't want to say you need to be on a Bible reading plan. You need to read the Word every day. You have to have a love for the Word first. Please understand me. Please read the Bible. But I'm telling you, before you get revelation and understanding of who Jesus Christ is, you have to have an experience with Jesus Christ. I remember when I became born again, I had an experience with the Messiah. I had an experience with Jesus, and then I started reading the Word, and then it became alive to me. And so this morning, we're going to go to Mark chapter 10. And if you make, please understand, I make resolutions. I have a resolution this year. Please understand me, make a resolution. But the thing is, what happens is that we put something out in front of us that when we make the resolution, most of us know that it's not even attainable. And if it is attainable, it's going to be a miracle, but it's really what we would want to happen. And then when the resolution gets broken and not attained, we beat ourselves up. And it's a trap almost. I've talked about this before. The number one resolutions made this year, every year, is usually around diet. It is around weight loss. It is around physical health. And it is around finance and family. There's 8 of them, but those are the top 5. And then when we don't attain it, we kind of beat ourselves up and we fall into this trap. I've said this before where I could, all the diet pills in the world, I can take a pill, fill it with water, give it to you and say, here's a diet pill. I promise you it'll work. If you eat healthy and exercise twice a day, you're going to lose weight. That's a promise. I believe that Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm going to tell you now, we live in a weak body. We live in a fleshly body, and it is weak. And if you can discipline your body, this is my own experience. If you can discipline this body, you can discipline yourself better spiritually. That's what I've discovered. I want to get into this message. Enough of that. This is in Mark chapter 10, and this is Jesus Christ. It says that he had turned, and you can read this story in Luke. You can read it in Matthew 20. You can read it in Luke chapter 18, I believe it is. This is a story of Jesus Christ, and he's walking towards Jerusalem with his disciples, and he's going towards Jericho. Now, had to pass through Jericho, but in Luke chapter, I believe it's in chapter 7, it says that he set his face towards Jerusalem. He steadfastly set his face towards Jerusalem. He knew that there was a passion inside of him that I am the Messiah. I was the one that was, he was in heaven. He took off his robe. He took off his crown. He came down to this earth. He put on human flesh so that, because he was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and somebody had to be the atonement, had to be the sacrifice so that me and you would be cleansed of our unrighteousness. And it was the blood of Jesus, and he knew that he was the one. He was the one called, and he was telling his disciples that, hey, look, I'm going to go up into Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to get crucified, he's going to get beaten, and he's going to die, but in 3 days he is going to rise again. And here's a prayer that I want to show you that the disciples, actually in one of the, I believe it's in Matthew, it says that the mother of James and John, so she was, the James and John were the sons of thunder, so this was the wife of thunder. She came to Jesus Christ in Matthew 20, but this is what it says in Mark chapter 10 in verse 35. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now, I want to tell you something, that Jesus, just because you're a born-again Christian, does not mean that Jesus Christ is a genie in a bottle. It doesn't mean that he is your sugar daddy or anything like that. Or sometimes I have caught myself using God as a spare tire, where he's in the trunk of my car, and when I get a flat, I need him right now, and I want it right now. That's the I shouldn't say it, but that is kind of the Western view, that kind of the culture that we live in, is where when something goes wrong, we want it fixed right now, and we use God as a spare tire. But I'm telling you, that's not what he's for. He is to lead you, and he is to lead you and be with you and guide you in every aspect of your life, not just as a spare tire. And Jesus said to them, he said, what do you want me to do for you? This was James and John. And they said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left hand when you come to your glory, in your glory. And because Jesus had told them, he said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to get crucified. I'm going to die, and I'm going to raise again in 3 days. And they were like, well, that sounds great. They thought this kingdom was going to be on this earth. They thought that when he gets into his glory, when he sits on his throne, they said, I want to be on your right and I want to be on your left. Now, this was the prayer of the disciples when Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And I'm telling you that sometimes I get caught up when I pray for Jerry, when Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? I start thinking of all the things that I need and that I want. And we want status quo, and we want to be elevated, and we want to be put on a platform. I'm telling you, if you don't think that people think much of themselves, you ask them what they like, and you let them talk about it. Because us as humans, we have interests. Every one of us has things going on in our life. Every one of us has things that we like. And if you don't believe it, just ask somebody and tell them to tell you about it. I love fishing. If you ask me about fishing, don't ask me about fishing, because I'll talk about it for 15 or 20 minutes and then you're going, sorry that I asked. But that is how we are in our life. And when Jesus, sometimes when Jesus would come to you, what would you say to him if he stopped and said, what do you want me to do for you? What would our prayer be? I believe that the way that I pray is revolved around my own circumstances. What do you want me to do for you? Well, I need healing. I need a better job. I need a better income. My kids, I want to see them walking with, you know, I have this laundry list of the things that I want Jesus to do for me. And this is, I'm going to stop here in this part of the story, and I want to go on down, because I see where there's somebody that was at the end of his rope, and his prayer was just a little bit different. And I believe as we walk out of 2023, we can look back, and some of us are probably going, 2023 was an absolute disaster. I can't wait to leave 2023 and get into 2024. And some of us are going, man, that was a good year. I'll take another year just like that. In a crowd like this, I can guarantee you some of us had good years. Some of us had probably not so good years. And we're going, what was that? I really don't want any more to do with that. I just want a fresh start. I want something clear, God. I want you to lead me into something better. And then we make resolutions to make that happen. Have you ever in December, I'm just talking out of my human flesh here, have you ever in December thought, man, if for 52 weeks, if I would have saved $20, Or you're in December and it's about time to go, you know, other people are going on vacation, and you're going, if I would have every week, if I would have saved this amount of money, I'd be going on vacation myself. And then you have that idea where, well, I'm going to do it this year. And by February, you're going, who's taking care of this? We have dreams and we have visions, but I want you to think this morning about the way that we pray. And the way that we view our King and our Lord. So while Jesus told them, you do not know what you ask. And then he said, are you able to drink the cup that I drink, be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? If you want to sit with me in glory, you're going to have to go through whatever I'm going through. Can you get crucified? Can you die for the people's sins? And then well, I preached a message on this one time. They said, we are able. He said, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink and be baptized. And with the baptism I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right and on my left is not mine to give. These men that said that I can do that, they didn't know what they were saying, but they were persecuted for their faith. I want to go down. This is where the message came from. I want to be attentive to the words that came this morning. The scripture about the dry bones coming to life. The scripture about Elisha's servant seeing the supernatural. The scripture that Tyler brought about, there's nothing that God cannot do. I want to be attentive to what the Spirit is speaking to us today. But this is a story in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. This is Jesus and his disciples. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, he was the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So his name was Bartimaeus. If you hear the word bar in front of a name in the Bible, like Barabbas, Barabbas was son of the father. Barabbas was the one that was released in place of Jesus, and Jesus was crucified. Barabbas was son of the father. Bartimaeus is just, he's the son of Timaeus. I don't want to put too much stock in that, but here was a name, here was a man, and he was only known as, he's the son of Timaeus. The blind man sitting here begging, he's the son of Timaeus. That's who he is. That was his name. And he sat by the road begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And so here was a man that sat by the roadside begging. He couldn't see. He was physically blind, and he could not see, and he was begging for a morsel of bread. He was begging just to stay alive. His prayer to the people was, just help me to stay alive, until he heard that the bread of life is coming down the road. You see, that's what I do sometimes when I pray to the Messiah, when I pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray, just keep me alive. We're so focused around on what happens in our own life, and please understand me. This isn't judgment. It's just what we do as humans. We beg to stay alive. Jesus has always provided. Jesus has always brought life when we needed it. Jesus. Now there are people that in our life that we prayed for and they've died, and we're going, what is going on here? But Jesus is our provider. And there was a man that was at the end of his rope. He was begging just for food, just to stay alive. And sometimes I'm so focused on my own life, I forget to look up. And here comes Jesus, and he's walking. Here's the bread of life. And blind Bartimaeus knows that his only hope is that if the son of David would have mercy on him, his only hope is that he'll ever see again. Then he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He went from begging to stay alive to a cry of anguish to the only man that could help him. Then they warned him to be quiet. These were other people. They warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more. And he said, son of David, have mercy on me. I think of the mercy of God. I do believe that we minimize the mercy of God. There's a story, I want to say it's in Luke chapter 18, where there's a Pharisee that is in the temple. And he's praying to God, and he says, God, I tithe and I give money to the poor, and I fast twice a week, and I thank you, God, that I'm not like this taxpayer back here. Or the tax collector. And the tax collector hears the prayer of the Pharisee. Jesus is telling this story to people in Luke. I want to say it's Luke chapter 18. Jesus is telling this story, and then the tax collector hears the prayer of the Pharisee, and you know what he did? Hit his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, who do you think? Who do you think went home justified? And they said, probably the publican, probably the tax collector. He said, absolutely. The Pharisee was telling God how good he is, how much good he had done, why he deserved what he should be getting. And the publican just said, man, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I was convicted of this here a while back. I was driving through a neighborhood, and I told myself, I said, man, I'm glad I don't have to live there. Glad I don't live there. And I was convicted, and I said, God, I'm asking that you would let your spirit flow through this neighborhood, bring light into this neighborhood, show them who Jesus Christ is. I'm praying, God, that you would send your spirit into these homes, into these houses. I'm praying, God, you would break bondages. You would release them from darkness. You would let them see a great light, oh God. I'm asking, Spirit of God, that you would move in this neighborhood and let there be life and let there be a great awakening. There's a difference in how we pray. We get so engrossed with ourselves. I'm just glad that I have what I have. I don't have to deal with what they're dealing with. Here's blind Bartimaeus. They warned him to be quiet, and he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. I want to ask you this morning, we're going to go back into worship before too long, but I want to ask you this morning. Some of us have been, we've been crying. Some of us have been crying for an answer from God. We've been crying for something from Jesus. We've been crying for some of us, maybe we're crying, I want a fresh fire in my life. I want to feel the fire I had 10 years ago. I want to feel the fire I had 20 years ago. Some of us are crying for family that needs to be saved. Some of us have been crying out to God for our health. Some of us have been crying out to be delivered of a disease. Some of us have been crying out for people that we know who believe are being oppressed by the devil, that we would, God, just release them from darkness. Let them walk in freedom. Let them have abundant life. Some of us have been crying out because of our finances or because of a job. Some of us have been crying out for our marriage or our children or relationships. Some of us have been crying out, and 2023 was a year of begging and crying and saying, God, I need a move in my life. And if you've been crying out, I want to ask you a question this morning. If the Savior, if the King of Glory came walking through, if the bread of life came walking through, and he would stop and he would say, I hear the cry. I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ hears every cry. He knows every tear that you have shed. He knows every prayer that you have prayed, and he sees you. And I'm telling you, some of the prayers that you prayed, he's probably going, no, not today. Or you don't know what you asked, like he told James and John. And I want to ask you this morning, if Jesus Christ came walking through, if the bread of life came walking through, and he stopped and he said, go ahead and come on up here, and then he would ask this question. Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be called. They said to the blind man, they said, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered him and said, what do you want me to do for you? The exact same thing that he told James and John when they said, God, Jesus, we have a request of you. He said, what do you want me to do for you? And they told him, but it was a different prayer. They wanted elevation. They wanted status quo. And here was a man that Jesus stopped and he said, blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? The exact same question. I want to ask you today, what would you ask of Jesus? What is probably all of us, maybe we're crying out for ministry. Maybe we're going, man, I didn't think ministry would be this hard. Man, I didn't think that in 2023 I didn't think at the age of 45 I'd be where I'm at today. I thought I was going to have a little bit more figured out. Maybe we're going, man, I didn't know it was going to be this hard to be a father, be a mother, or be a husband, or be a wife. I didn't know it was going to be this hard on my job. I didn't know it was going to be this hard to move and to find new friends and all of that stuff. And Jesus is stopping and saying, what do you want? What do you want from me today? But I want you to think about what you ask him. Here's blind Bartimaeus. They called him Jesus, and throwing aside his garments, he ran to Jesus, said, what do you want me to do? The blind man said, he said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. I pray for you. I pray for me. I pray that in 2024 that we have an experience with the Master. I pray in 2024 that we would fall in love again with the one that saved us from destruction, with the one that saved us from death and hell. I pray that we would once again fall in love with his word. I pray that we would once again fall in love with the things of the kingdom of God. I pray, Spirit of God, that you would open up our eyes and lead us into all truth. Father, you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, but I'm asking that you would give us vision to see what the Spirit of God is doing, see what he's saying. I'm asking, God, you would unstop our ears so that we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying in 2024, because darkness is enveloping the earth. And I'm telling you, there's a light that needs to come out of Christian people. There's a light that has to come out of us and has to speak truth to the people. I have told you about experiences with people at work where I go to them and go, what do you believe? They cannot fall in love with the Savior until I show them the Savior. They can't fall in love with what he's doing until they have an experience with him. How do I bring an experience to them? We try to imitate Jesus. Well, let's become more like Jesus. We want to be more like him. I'm telling you, there's a lot to be learned from the man Jesus Christ. He was stern with the religious. He brought truth to the religious, and he was stern with them. He didn't back down from truth to the broken and the oppressed and the beggarly. He was compassionate, and he stopped and he listened. And you don't hear him inserting himself and talking to people before they want to hear about him. He waits and he listens and he hears, and then he reacts and he asks and he cares about what you care about. If you want, I'm just going to tell you, if you want people to like you, if you want people to follow you, sometimes you got to learn when to shut up. I'm sorry, that's pretty harsh, but you have to listen and you have to care about what they care about, because look behind you and see who is after you, who is following you. Jesus Christ had compassion. The ones that he had compassion on, he was stern with the religious. They followed him at a distance just to see if he would mess up. But the ones that he had compassion on, the ones that he cared about, the ones that he listened to, he was well loved and really hated. If you don't have anybody bring an opposition to you, you might want to check yourself. Somebody's going to hate you for the love of Jesus Christ in your life. There's a saying that I've written it down, and it goes with discipleship, but there's a saying, and I don't know where it comes from. I've heard it and I've used it, but people do not care about how much you know until they know how much you care. You can write that down. If you get nothing else, they do not care about how much you know. They first have to know how much you care, and that is Jesus Christ. When people discovered how much he cared, when he stopped, when he stood still for blind Bartimaeus, and blind Bartimaeus said, I just want to see. And Jesus, this is what he said. I'm gonna get to a few more things yet. We're gonna go back into worship. I do want to do an altar call today. The blind man said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. This is blind Bartimaeus. Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. The faith of blind Bartimaeus, the only thing that I believe that Bartimaeus knew was that the bread of life is walking through. The King of Glory is coming through. I've heard about this man. I've heard that he's done miracles. I've heard that he's fed thousands of people. I've heard that he's raised the dead. I've heard a lot about this Messiah, and he's walking through. And blind Bartimaeus, the faith that he had was, I know a man. I don't know a man, but I've heard about a man that can save me from where I'm at. There is only one name that can save you. There is only one name under heaven and on earth that can save you, and that is the name Jesus Christ. I want to warn you a little bit about what happened here when I talk about he was stern with the Pharisees. He was stern with the religious. If somebody comes to you and they care more about how you look and the way that you dress and what you're doing on a daily basis, if they care more about that than they do about your heart, you need to be careful. If I come to you and I care more about how you look and I start being the Spirit of God in your life and telling you what you should do and what you shouldn't do instead of asking you about your dreams, your visions, and your heart and what you care about, I'm just warning you, be careful. It's religion. The blind man said, Rabboni, that I may see receive my sight. Jesus said to him, he said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. And then he did something. He followed Jesus. I want 2024 for the life of Jerry. I want me to follow after Jesus harder than I ever have before. I don't want to look back. You know, the women are doing a Bible study about let's not look back. Sometimes I look back and I mourn the things that I used to have. I mourn what could have been or I mourn what I thought should have happened. And I'm telling you, you look back into that and it's a trap where you can't go forward because you're thinking about what could have been instead of what can be. And Jesus Christ comes to you and he says, I want to give you sight. I want you to be able to see what I'm doing in this day. I want you to be able to follow me. I want you to have an experience with me so that you want to follow me. I want everybody that under the sound of my voice, if you're on YouTube or wherever you're at, I want you to think about what you would tell Jesus Christ if he stopped, if he stood still and he said, what do you want from me today? He wants to give you sight. He wants to open your ears. He wants us to see what he's doing in this day. He wants us to feel the way that he feels. Sometimes I say, Jesus, I want the compassion that you have for other people. This human flesh has a hard time with compassion. Sometimes I look at people and I go, well, they're just getting what they deserve. They're just getting what they deserve. There was a man that was in this area for quite a while, and I had a lot of interaction with him, and I thought I was going to lead him to the Lord. I thought that by giving him my son's bicycle, I would lead him to the Lord. And I gave him my son's bicycle. I thought I was helping him. I drove him all over the place. And then one day, he was up and he was gone, and he left me a weird message at night. He was actually high. He was drunk and all these things. And I wrote him off, and I said, you're beyond help, and just go and get what you deserve. I hadn't heard from the man in a year. Not long ago, I was sent a picture of this man with a suit and tie down in Texas at a recovery program. I want to tell you now, there is nothing impossible with God. There is nothing impossible with God. When human will write you off, you'd better look to the Savior. When humans will write you off, when this man sitting beside the road begging for a morsel of bread heard that the Savior was coming and other people were telling him, you need to be quiet. Jesus has other things that he needs to do. He's walking through Jericho. He's got other people he needs to see. He's got more important things to do. But when Jesus hears the voice of us crying, he will stop and he will listen and say, what do you want from me today? God, oh God, I just want to see. I just want to see what you're doing in every situation in my life. There's a situation, God, that I am praying for. There's a situation I would just like it to be fixed. I would just like revelation and understanding. I would just like for this situation that there would be healing and understanding. And what I really should say is, God, I want to see what you're doing with this. I want to see what you're doing in this time. I want to see what you're trying to teach me. I want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying because maybe this situation right here is growing me up into something else. He's trying to, God, are you trying to prove, make me prove myself so you can use me in other areas and in other ministries and in other ways? In this situation, God, what are you trying to tell me? Well, I want to see you in this situation. I want to see you. My marriage is on the rocks. I want to see you, God, move in this situation. My child is not following the Lord, but oh God, how do you want to use me in this situation? I want to see you move in this situation, oh God. Every one of us, I believe, it's not selfish for you to think about yourself. Please understand me. We have stuff going on in our life, but pray that you would be able to see what God wants you to see in this situation. Some of these things are hard. We want everybody to follow Jesus. We want, you know, there's young, old, and we look at different generations. There's 80-year-old people who are going, These young kids are messed up, and there's young kids that are going, nobody has shown me what I should be doing. And there's peer pressure that they deal with that me and you probably don't deal with. They go into schools and they go into different places where there's more influence coming from the outside than we realize, and we're just not in tune with what's going on. And they will look at us older people and go, man, are you not willing to change and to have different mindsets? And they're going, just because the Bible says so doesn't mean it's true. And then there's nobody really to come out and show them what truth really is, and it's just kind of a vicious cycle. And there's atheists, and there's agnostics, and there's we want everybody to follow Jesus. I believe what the Spirit of God said to me was, let them experience me. And after you've experienced Jesus Christ, after you get your sight, you will follow him. Just like blind Bartimaeus, he followed him. And for the year 2024, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. My desire would be that everybody would read the word daily. That's my desire. Do I get it done? No. That's my desire. Read the word daily. Fall in love with the Savior. Fall in love with him again if you have to. Then you'll fall in love with his word, his commandments, his word, his truth. In 2024, seek his face and follow him. Go after the things of God. You know, if there's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with resolutions, but if there's a resolution that I would want a body of believers to make, is that I'm going to go harder after the things of God than I ever have before. 2024 is going to be a year of chasing down the things of God, seeing what he wants me to do, seeing where he wants me, bringing me into certain situations, praying that, God, today I have a divine appointment with somebody who's been crying for the Savior. God, give me a divine appointment with somebody who's just looking for a morsel of bread. Father, let me be the bread of life. It's not pride to say that Jesus is in me. It's not pride to say that the Spirit of God is inside of me. Jesus, use me to show other people who the Savior really is. Show me how to show compassion. Use me to bring revelation and understanding to those that are sitting in the great dark, in a great darkness. Let me be the light of the world. Let me be Jesus to those that are needing to see a Savior. God, use me in 2024. Let me love your word. Let me have an experience with you. God, even this morning, I'm asking that you would let me experience the touch of heaven. Hallelujah. Let me feel you, God. Let me hear you. Let me see you. Blind Bartimaeus, the first thing that he saw, I believe, was the face of Jesus Christ. Once you see that, you can't not follow it. There are people in here. I have a good friend. A couple weeks ago, I went out and I picked him up, and we went to Qdoba to eat some food because that's the best fellowship. We went to Qdoba to eat some food, and this man, I asked the pastors, and one of these days I want to bring him here to share his testimony. You can't make this stuff up. Absolutely can't make it up. He was homeless for 15 years. Lived under the bridge in Elkhart for 5 years. He came up from another state. He was in South Bend. And he had a Bible. He said, I always knew that there was a God. I always knew that God was still there. And he was homeless. He got into drugs, unspeakable things. And he lost his wife and children, and his first wife had died. And after she died, it drove him into this depression and drinking and drugs and all of this stuff. And homelessness brought him up to South Bend. And one day, he said, I got to the end of myself. And he walks up to a church, walks up to the front door. He knows right where it's at. He could lead us right to it. He said, I fell down in front of that church, fell down in front of that door, and I said, God, I'm done. I need something better. I need to see you, God. And he said, and I sat there and I listened to him tell this story, and I want him to tell it to the church one day. He graduates from Teen Challenge this month. He's been there for a year now. And he said, as God is my witness, he said, I fell down at that door, and he said, a lady walked through the door. He said, no, the door didn't open. She walked right through that door and said, follow me. He said, an angel of the Lord met him at that doorstep in South Bend and led him out to Elkhart, where he lived under the bridge, where a man started coming out and showing him the compassion of Jesus Christ, loving him and feeding him and admonishing him and asking him about his dreams and his visions and having compassion on him. And because of that, this man is ready to graduate from Teen Challenge because of the compassion of Jesus Christ shown by another man. And there he is today, ready to graduate, going, I want to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't make this stuff up. Somebody has to see Jesus. Somebody has to experience Jesus before they follow him. This man, I believe he'll follow him the rest of his life. I'm telling you right now, his life is an absolute mess. He won't talk about it. He'll only talk about the grace of Jesus Christ. I need men like that in my life to remind me nothing is impossible with God. What are you crying for this morning? What have you been begging for in 2023? I believe 2024 is a year to follow hard after the things of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm feeling. We're going to sing a song, and if you want prayer this morning, here's what we'll do. If you just want to come up and say, God, I want to move in my life, I'd like to pray over all of you. But if you want to come up here to the altar, if you just want to come up, and if you want prayer, come up here to, so it's on your right. If you want prayer, come up to the right side. I've said this before. I learned it out at Times Square Church, where they said, well, it'd be all right if you prayed with me. And if you want to be left alone, you come up here on the left side. If you want to pour out to God and say, God, this thing that I've been asking you, I'm just asking that you would show me what you really want me to do. I'm asking God that you would give me vision, you would give me sight, you would give me hearing. If you're here this morning, you want prayer for anything, please come up. And if you just want to pour out your heart to God and say, God, 2024 is a year where me and you walk together. Come on up. We're going to sing this song.